And if we have anybody visiting with us, you are a very special welcome. And that welcome extended to those who are listening to us in solid ground this morning and also on the tape ministry during the week. Wherever you are, or whenever you're hearing this service, we pray that you feel God close to you this morning. I trust everybody has got an announcement sheet. Please do read that and act upon if anything is of interest to you. Please just don't scam over it. For coming up to Christmas time, there's a lot of things going on, and please do take it all in, and I say act upon anything that's of interest to you. Just there's a few other announcements just to highlight. First of all, Wings have asked that the Christmas lunch, which should be paid for by the 2nd of December. Now, the cost is £13, not £15 on the announcement sheet, so you're going to save a couple of pounds. So that is prepared by next Sunday, if you can. Also, the Community Association are organising an Ulster Scotch event, and this will take place on Friday, the 7th of December, here in our church hall. Now, this will be taking place in the afternoon, and it's open to pensioners only. Oh, I know, it's sad, but if you haven't reached that important age, you can't go to it. So it's just for pensioners, and it's for ticket only, and it is free. Now, the tickets will be available from this Wednesday in Angus Farm Shop or Vivo. So I'm expecting a big queue outside them shops, maybe on Wednesday, to get them free tickets. And it's going to be a good event. It's run by the Community Association on Friday, the 7th of December, and it's run about 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, something in that region. And just remember, that evening too is the switch on the lights here outside our church. That's on Friday, that's on the 7th of December. And then next Sunday is our family Christmas tree service. So this is where we have the chance to bring any gifts, and they'll be distributed or taken up to Belfast City Mission to be distributed to families less fortunate than ourselves. So please do remember that. And during that service also, some of our young folks will be describing their experiences during the summer when they went on holiday Bible clubs. So please do come along and support that in both of them cases. And also, finally, very important, that this evening is our prayer service. If you haven't been to our prayer service before, I urge you to come along this evening at 6:30. It is where our prayer ministry will be leading our service, and will be focusing on prayer. Now, maybe some people will think prayer, oh, well, there's nothing going wrong in my life, so I don't need prayer. But prayer can be for bringing joy and giving thanks to God as well. So if I'm sure everybody has thanks to bring to God in some part of your life, so you can come and give thanks and praise. But also, if there is things going on in your life, it's a wonderful opportunity to just to get somebody to pray with you and just to bring it for God. And there's no pressure put on anybody. You can just sit and just meditate. There'll be singing and there'll be praise, but also focusing mostly on prayer. So that's this evening at 6:30. Just one other announcement. The flower list will be updated this week. So if you want to amend it anyway by your name taken off or add it to it, please do put it on the list this morning before you leave. Thank you very much. That's all the announcements. But we're here to worship and to praise God this morning. And I'd just like to start off with a couple of verses from Thessalonians. And today we are focusing on prayer, and David, who is preaching this morning, will be focused on prayer. And I'd just like to read a few verses from Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. And it reads, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks to in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. We're here to bring joy. To pray continually, it doesn't mean that we have to pray every minute of every day. It means that we just continually pray to God. And that's what we want to do. And we trust that we'll learn more from that this morning as we hear what David brings us. So let us stand before God and bring this first praise, a wonderful praise, to God be the glory. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bring you the glory, great things you have done. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father and we are your children. And in that, Lord, we thank you for the love and the grace and the blessings that you bestowed upon us day and daily, above and beyond anything that we can comprehend. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us, where you have placed us in your creation. Lord, we thank you for your creation as we look around this beautiful place where we are, the fields, the sky, the sea, the food, the houses that we have. You have truly blessed each and every one of us. And Lord, we want to come to you this morning to truly worship and to praise and give you our thanks. And Lord, as we come this morning, we consider why we are here. Is it because it's something that we do on a Sunday? It's routine for us? Is it because we want to meet family and friends and to be with them? Or is it that we want to worship and to praise you and to learn more about you?
So, Lord, in a moment of silence, we consider this question, why are we here? Lord, if we're being totally honest, we are here because it's something that we routinely do on a Sunday. If we're totally honest, it is that we like to be with family and friends. But Lord, most of all, we pray that it is because we want to worship and to praise you and to give you our ultimate thanks. Lord, we pray that this morning that you will make a real connection to each and every one of us. Transform us into the people that you would want us to be. Not the person that we are, but the person that you want us to be. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness that we have been caught up in so in our busyness of daily life this week that we have put you at the back of the queue. We have taken you for granted. Lord, I pray that you may transform our lives today, that we shift you to the front of the queue, that we are fully focused on you day and daily, not only today, but every day of the week. So, Lord, this morning, make us a real connection to us and us to you through our service. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness that for opportunities missed this week to talk to people about you, to show you your love and your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, this week coming in, work in and through our lives in a powerful and mighty way. And this morning we pray especially for David as he comes to us. We ask them that you have blessed him as his preparation for this morning. And Lord, we ask that we will be blessed through the words that he has to say to us through you. So Lord, we just ask that your blessing be upon us and us in your service. Amen. There is one announcement I did forget. All those who are on the committee, if they could meet in the quiet room for a short time after the service, that would be very much appreciated. We stand to sing our second praise now, and it is entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd, and I Will Trust. A wonderful, wonderful praise, and later on David will be thinking about the Lord's Prayer, so this is a very good connection. We'll stand and sing, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Believe me, by the sins.
David makes his way up to the pulpit. As I said, we have a prayer service this evening, and the prayer ministry team has been focusing on it during this week, and they've had a few messages from God, and they want to read out this morning, and they might or may not be appropriate to you, but there's 5 points that they want to read out. Number one, it is a time to join the family. Pull up a chair and sit at the table. There is plenty of room. You are not just a guest at my table, but part of my family. If you feel God talking to you, then I urge you to accept the invitation. And it's just not for one person. Number two, while looking at a rainbow, the words, "All my promises are true," and verses that stand out are Proverbs 6, verse 9. "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure." Number three, the power of God is strong. Acts 3, verse 16. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him complete healing." Number four, a thought that someone is feeling low in their faith. And number five, just one word and simple, "Arn, arn." If any of them is appropriate to you, and if you want to speak to any of the prayer ministry team after the service, please do so. But also come along this evening to the prayer service. It'll be very, very meaningful to everybody. Thank you. And now I welcome David. I was going to say a strange face, not a strange face, but a new face in Grey Abbey. Come on up and let them see you. David, this is the second time to be with us. The first time was down in the harvest service down in Clocky. David is one of many going on the credit preacher scheme. And David is from Regent Street in Newtownards. And good or bad, he has been assigned to us to do his assignment here. And he'll be with us maybe four or five Sundays over that period. Yeah. So this is one of his Sundays. And we just pray that God has blessed him in his preparation for here. And we just feel that, we pray too also that he feels the warmth, not only of our congregation, but the warmth of God this morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks, George.
Thank you. Thank you, George, for your welcome. And it is good to be here with you this morning. We had a good service down in Clocky, an early start. But it's good to be here with you here in Grey Abbey. As George has said, our theme for today is prayer, and we'll be focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And so we come to reading from God's Word, and we read Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. And Jesus has been teaching his disciples in the passage recorded here, we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of that bigger passage of Scripture, we take this section in Matthew chapter 6, also page 970 in your pew Bibles. So starting at verse 7 and reading through to verse 15. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I give thanks to God for this reading from his word. And I think before the children leave, or young people leave for Sunday school, so we're going to sing another song which tells us a little bit more about prayer. We've been reading about Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. So that song will help us to explore that a little bit further. It reminds us that we can talk to God anywhere and at any time. We don't have to speak out loud. He hears us and knows our thoughts as we come to him in prayer. He still hears us even if we do not speak outwardly. And he really knows all about us, and he loves and cares for us. And just before we sing the song as well, we just have a short prayer with the children as we give thanks to God and ask him to help us. So let us pray. Thank you, God, for our families and friends, and for all the people who teach us and help us to do things that we enjoy. Thank you for giving us the Bible that tells us about Jesus. We know that he loves us and died for us. Help us to learn more about him and to tell the good news about him to the people we meet. Thank you for loving us, watching over us, and always listening to our prayers. We know that you never leave us. Amen. And so we sing, Did You Ever Talk to God Above? See so many children and them skipping out and going so enthusiastically to Sunday school. we now come to our offering, and we just give some thought to that before we bring our offering. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. We will sacrifice a thank offering to God and call on the name of the Lord. We will fulfill our vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. As recipients of abundant life in Christ, we now offer our gifts to God. Blessed are you, God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Amen. God calls us to be a praying people, and let us join together to bring our prayers for others to him. Let's pray. Sovereign God, creator of all that has been made and will be made, we come into your presence with humble and thankful hearts. Whatever our circumstances, you care for each one of us, and we turn to you, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer, to lead us and guide us day by day, as you have done in the past. We thank you for the privilege of approaching you now with these prayers for ourselves and others, knowing that in your mercy you will hear us and help us. In our prayers of intercession today, we pray for churches as they prepare for the Advent and Christmas seasons and seek to proclaim the message of the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing on preparation for services and other events, and for opportunities to reach out with your gospel to those who will attend and to our local communities. May it be a time when many will hear and respond in faith to the good news of Jesus. And we pray for those who will find this time difficult, for those who are lonely, those who have difficult family relationships, those who will face financial and other hardships. We pray that your church will be sensitive to those in need and reach out in compassion and with support. We pray for all who have endured the devastating earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia at the end of September. And we give you thanks for the good response there has been to the moderator's appeal and for the funds raised and which are being distributed to Christian Aid, Tear Fund, and the Communion of Churches in Indonesia. We pray for all those who continue to be affected by the disaster, that they will receive the support they need, and especially those needing to rebuild homes and livelihoods. As we look closer to home, we remember all those who have suffered through our troubles here and who still bear the physical and mental scars. Grant them healing in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for people of all ages who face mental health issues and ask for guidance and strength for their loved ones as they strive to work alongside healthcare professionals and care providers to bring comfort and relief, especially in the darkest hours. May we be sensitive to the needs of others and take steps to provide a listening ear and an active voice for those in our community who feel marginalised or ignored. And we thank you for organisations that bring encouragement, support and hope for the future. And we remember all those known to us personally who are ill in hospital or at home, those awaiting tests or surgery, and those who mourn. And we just take a short time of silence to remember those who need our prayers and need brought before God. May all who suffer and all who care for them find rest and courage in your peace and your abiding love. Surround them, Lord, with your healing presence, that they may know they are not alone. Faithful God, in your mercy, hear our prayers through Christ our Saviour. Amen. Before our sermon, just let us pray. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait. Prepare our hearts to hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from the middle of a longer passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, which we know as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I think that is something that here in Grey Abbey and in Clochy that you have been, some of your groups have, or as a church you've been looking at, and which maybe some of your smaller groups are looking at and studying. John Stott wrote that the sermon was Jesus' own description of what he wanted his followers to be and to do, and that Jesus emphasized that his followers, the citizens of God's kingdom, were to be entirely different from others. Stott used the expression Christian counterculture to describe the intention of Jesus' teaching and its challenge to the world. We are to be different. As Christians, we have a counterculture. A few verses on from the passage that we read in chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, in verses 28 and 29, Matthew writes that the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one who had authority. Jesus' teaching amazed the people. His sermon and his teaching were the master's class. I just wonder, who do we go to for direction and help? When you're out and about, you're on holiday, you're going to a new place, it's a strange place, you don't know all the ways around, we often need to find help to find our way. In these days of technology, we've got lots of things which can help us on our mobile phones or our tablets. We can have our sat navs or Google Maps or some other way of finding out where we are and where we want to go. But I expect that some, if not most of us, have also had occasion to approach someone to ask for directions or help. And like me, you'll hope that the person that you're asking actually knows the way to where you're going and that they're going to be helpful. Sometimes, though, the response will be, "No, I'm sorry, I don't know where that is," or "I'm a visitor to this place as well," or the person you ask is maybe just too busy to take time to help you. In our jobs or education and in life generally, we need people who will teach us and help us to learn important skills. Skills and lessons for living, for working, and for our relationships. Who do we go to for instruction? We know that we would want it to be someone who has knowledge and someone who can pass on that knowledge to us. We need people with wisdom to help us. And when it comes to our relationship with God and how to live our lives for Him, how much more important it is to take wise instruction. As we look this morning at what Jesus teaches us, we know that He speaks with authority. He teaches us with the wisdom and authority of God. What He says to us is reliable. It is the truth. So Jesus has been teaching His disciples important lessons about Christian living and their relationship with God. And now in this passage that we read a few minutes ago, He turns His attention to prayer. So let's go to the Master and hear what He says. And as we do so, let's do that prayerfully, asking that we'll not just listen with our ears, but that He will help us to understand His message and to be able to put it into practice. Prayer is a vital part of our Christian life, and yet it is something that so many of us will struggle with. Some will struggle for longer periods than others with prayer, but I'm sure for all of us there are times whenever we really struggle with how we pray and what to pray. Making time to pray. Feelings of inadequacy or just an inability to pray. We can struggle to find the right words. And sometimes our times of prayer just seem dry and empty. And we wonder if God answers our prayers or even hears us. In churches, I know from talking to other people, and I don't know what it's like in Grey Abbey and Clochy, but in many churches that I hear about, prayer meetings are often amongst the least supported gatherings. And it's maybe because of some of those reasons we mentioned that people just find it difficult to pray or struggle with prayer. But if we look to Jesus, prayer was so important to Him. When we read through the Gospels and look at some of the instances of when and how Jesus prayed Himself, we see that there are times He prayed alone in solitary places. He prayed with His disciples. He prayed regularly. He prayed for others. He spent the night praying. He prayed in anguish as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There is much that we can learn from the prayer life of Jesus. And He wants us to pray. And He wants us to pray in the right way. So He encourages us as we come to the throne of God, trusting in Him and leaning on His righteousness. So we'll look at what Jesus Himself teaches us about prayer. We've mentioned that the followers of Jesus are to be different. If we follow Him, we are to live in a new way. We are called to put God first in our actions, in all our activities and relationships, our thoughts and priorities, in every aspect of our life, we're to put God first. And I think that's something that George has already mentioned earlier in the service about God and the things of God first in our lives. And it is the same when it comes to prayer. Jesus describes here in this passage and in the few verses just before the passage that we actually read, Jesus describes how some people pray, and he warns us not to be like them. In the verses just before the ones we read, he describes how the hypocrites pray, so that they will be seen. Their praying is aimed more at impressing others and gaining admiration. It's a pretense, and it's self-serving. Jesus also describes how the pagans, or those who don't know him, prayed, using lots of words and repetitions. Those who pray this way, he says, think they will be heard for their many words. In our translation that we read, their prayers are described as babbling, using many words but not having engaged their minds or their hearts. All words, no meaning. Jesus tells us, don't be like them. This is how you should pray. Don't be like them. This is how you should pray. As citizens of the kingdom of God, as followers of Jesus, you are to be different. This challenged his disciples then, and it challenges us today, to search our hearts and our motives and our attitudes when we come to pray. In our devotions, we are to be different from those who are not citizens of his kingdom. We are to be real. God knows us and our needs even before we pray. So when we pray, there's nothing we can hide from him. We need to mean what we say and mean what we pray. Our prayers are not to be mere use or recitation of words. And we may be tempted to think that that kind of prayer, the wordy or use of prayer, recitation, without thinking, would be those set or written prayers that we maybe memorize and which are familiar. And we say from memory, but without thinking or concentrating on what we're saying. But sometimes in our more informal approach to praying, we can also fall into the trap of wordiness and use religious jargon and terms as our mind drifts off somewhere else. We're to be real in our prayers. And we're to have a right relationship with God. We need to acknowledge our utter dependence on him, and our prayers are acts of worship and praise, as well as thanksgiving, confession, and petition. And as we pray, we need to trust in Christ and his righteousness. In Christ, our lives are transformed, and he transforms how we can communicate with God in prayer. So we come to that part of the passage that we read, the words that we probably are most familiar with, the words of the Lord's Prayer. Having told us how not to pray, Jesus then gives us the wonderful words of what we have come to call the Lord's Prayer, a pattern for genuine, effective, and dynamic prayer. According to Matthew, Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. In Luke's Gospel, the Lord's Prayer is given in a form that we would use as a prayer in itself. In Luke's Gospel, it says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. So we can use the Lord's Prayer as a template or model for our prayers, but also a set prayer, one that we can learn, one that we can use, and use those words which Jesus has given us. It is one prayer that most Christians will know and be able to recite. Memorized and treasured in our hearts, It helps us to come to God in prayer, knowing that this is how Jesus has taught us to pray. And even when our memory fails or fades, this prayer, perhaps like some other passages of Scripture, such as Psalm 23, that we commit to memory, they will come to mind. And the Lord's Prayer can be available to us from our spiritual well, even at times whenever we find it hard to pray. But we need to be wary of becoming too complacent and unthinking in our use of the Lord's Prayer because of our familiarity with its words. It's so familiar. It can lead us to complacency. When we're familiar with those words, do we repeat them without thinking about what they mean? As we listen to the words of the reading, did we switch off a bit? I know this. We'll skip on to the next bit. I already know these words. Did we switch off a bit and gloss over them without thinking? And when we say the Lord's Prayer, is that sometimes what we do? With Jesus' model for prayer, it should inform us that we are never to be complacent. And as we look at the Lord's Prayer, I really want to look at it in two parts. The first part of the prayer, we see that we give God the honor and praise due to him. It's all about God. We pray and worship an adoration of the sovereignty of God, praise and worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is sovereign, and we focus on him. And yet, how does Jesus teach us to address God? He says, our Father. He is our Father, and so the God of might and power and holiness can be addressed as our Father. Jesus addresses God as Abba Father, a term of closeness like Daddy. And he teaches us to approach our Heavenly Father in the same way, with that intimacy and with awe. Graham Kendrick wrote the song Meekness and Majesty, and that speaks of Christ in a similar way. Hands that flung stars into space were surrendered to cruel nails, reflecting his majesty and holiness and also his compassion and care for each one of us. Thomas Watson was a 17th century Puritan, and he wrote that prayer is the soul's breathing itself into the bosom of its heavenly Father. Our prayer is to our Father in heaven. It is intimate, but not frivolous. And all who are children of God through faith in Christ can pray, our dearest Father in heaven. So the focus of our prayers is firstly to worship, to focus on God. He is holy and sovereign. And if we don't have that in our hearts, then our words will be empty. We revere God for all that he is, with all that we have and all that we do. And as we approach God in prayer with our right focus on him as sovereign and holy, loving, personal, and compassionate, then the content of our prayers will be radically transformed. We give God priority, that his name would be hallowed. That's about how we live our lives to his glory. That his kingdom would come. We want his kingdom to come. That his will would be done on earth as in heaven. So we are submitting to him in all things. And then, having given God's kingdom, his will, his name, who he is, the priority, and acknowledging his sovereignty and holiness, we commit our needs and petitions to him. Our prayers should be thoughtful and not babbling. We speak to our God who already knows us inside out. There is nothing we can hide from him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And Jesus has shown us the right relationship we need to have with God as we approach him in prayer. And with that right relationship and attitude in prayer, Jesus then teaches us in the second part of the prayer what we should pray for ourselves and others. God already knows our needs, but Christ tells us to pray for physical and spiritual provision. We are to pray for daily bread, for forgiveness, and for deliverance from evil. We ask for God's grace in our prayers, and we are affirming our dependence on him for all things. We are to pray for our daily bread. This just doesn't mean food for our bodies, but for all that we need to sustain us. And as it is our daily bread, it emphasizes our dependence on God day by day. Forgiveness is essential for our souls and is as necessary as food for our bodies. But Jesus adds that we are to be forgiving people. We ask for God's forgiveness as we have already forgiven those who have sinned against us. So Jesus is challenging us to live in a new way, and we certainly need his grace and help to be able to live for him. So forgive us as we forgive those who have, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And our final petitions are for God's deliverance and protection from temptation and evil. We are in spiritual and moral battles, and we are unable to stand up to the evil one in our own strength. We cannot overcome him without God's power and presence. Jesus knows us and teaches us to place our faith in him. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And you notice that second section of the prayer, when we pray for these things, we pray, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We are part of a community of faith. We pray for ourselves, but also for others, for their physical needs and their spiritual growth and protection. That prayer is corporate. We may pray the Lord's Prayer as individuals, but it is also about the people of God. We pray for ourselves and one another. During this past week, my wife and I went along to our goddaughter's school autumn concert, and there were lots of solo performances, and the school's orchestra performed a number of pieces. And as I listened to the orchestra, I just thought of the many individual contributions that were taking place, coming together and joining in harmony. Many parts, one theme and melody. Some inexperienced musicians helped along by more experienced. Some learning from and encouraged by others. Each bringing their own tone and emphasis and part to the overall performance. In our life of prayer, we have our own personal relationship with God. Yet together as God's family, when we pray in communion, we bring our praise our petitions, our pleas to him. We learn about each other's needs and lift our prayers together for one another. Our melody of prayer. And if we look at the Gospels, we see how Jesus himself prayed in his own prayers that are recorded there. For example, we see that he called God his Father, Abba. He prayed that God's will would be done. He prayed for those who were crucifying him to be forgiven. He prayed for his disciples to be protected from the evil one. And as we look also in other parts of Scripture, the prayers of the early church in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostles' letters to the churches, the Psalms, and the prayers of the prophets in the Old Testament, they provide us with other examples of prayer. And we can use these Scriptures to help us to pray. And as mentioned down in Clocky when I was there, we can look at those prayers and see how they fit in with the pattern of what Jesus is telling us to pray about and how to pray. As we pray, praising God, honoring him, and we pray for others, for physical and spiritual needs. Our communication with God in prayer requires us to speak and to listen. And Jesus teaches us that we must worship him, confess our need for forgiveness, declare our dependence on him for our daily needs and for our spiritual protection and growth. So let us take Jesus' instruction and follow that pattern of dynamic prayer, the authoritative way to pray. And our prayers are not to be selfish or unthinking. They are to be God-centered and to express our dependence on God. And in that way, we're following Jesus' pattern for prayer. So we take those words, say them as a prayer, and we can use them even at times when we struggle and we can't find other words to say. Christ knows our struggles. He intercedes for us, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer. And we can start in our life of prayer, continue in our life of prayer, in faith and trust, using and following that teaching of God, that teaching of Christ when he gives us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we close our service with our final praise, again recognizing that we can take all our needs to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you. May God go before us to lead us. May God go behind us to guard us. May God go beneath us to support us. May God go beside us to befriend us. Let us not be afraid. Let the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, come upon us today and settle in around us. Let us not be afraid. May we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.